Hey everyone, welcome back to Oddly Godly. I'm David Parcher, and today we're going to talk about the emphasis in Ephesus. And God laid on my heart when I at my church, we're doing a study on the end time. So personally, I'm going through the book of Revelation with several commentaries and, you know, trying to flesh out my ideas on this thing. And one thing that stuck out to me in reading Revelation was this particular letter that was sent to Ephesus in the book of Revelation. It's in Revelation chapter 2, and it starts off the chapter. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have treated those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give him the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And what really stuck out to me in this was, I've read through Revelation several times, and some stuff you hear so often, and you hear sermons about it, and it just, you glaze over some of the parts because you're trying to focus on something else. But when I read it this time, you know, something really struck me in the way that this letter is presented, and that's the fact that in Ephesus, Jesus is writing through John, is writing to this particular church, and he's basically saying, you know, you hate evildoers, you hate evil things, you know, you're always being persecuted by these evil people, and you're making it through it. You hate false teachers, you hate this false religion, you hate all these things. But what Jesus also points out is that you've forsaken the love you have at first. They forgot how to love in their constant hatred. They have hatred for all of the right things. They are against the evil people of the world. But Jesus is telling them that if they don't repent of not having love, then their lampstand will be removed from its place. The lampstand is representative of the church itself, saying that the church is going to fall apart, essentially, if they don't get this part right. And to relate that to modern days, you know, a lot of times people are willing to tell you, this is what I'm against. This is what God is against. This is evil. This is immoral. This is this. This is that. They're trying to make these things look better. They're trying to make these things good. Blah, blah, blah. The church is being persecuted because of all these evil and wicked things. And a lot of times I feel like we miss out on this part. You know, the love that we had at first. I know when I got saved and I finally felt, you know, loved for the first time, when I felt what it was like to be loved by God and to be accepted into his family, it was incredible. And that's something that was life-changing for me. And everything else just melted away. And that is something that I find extremely important, especially for new believers, because it's all well and good to hate evil and wrongdoers, but for one thing, there's a lot of scriptural evidence that it's not our place, one way or the other, to say what is evil and what's not. We're not called to be the judges of this world. We're called to love this world the way that Christ loved this world. We're supposed to be an extension of his ministry. We're supposed to be his hands and feet with his spirit in us. And I think we've kind of stepped away from that. And a lot of times, you know, the things that the church kind of shares is what it's against rather than what it is actually there for, which is to love people, which is to bring people to relationship with God. And one thing that we are definitely not supposed to do through Scripture is judge people who are not in the kingdom of God. We are not called to judge people who have not accepted Christ as their saviors. And even when we are allowed to judge somebody who is a fellow believer, we are only supposed to do so out of love. So if our motives are anything other than loving that person, seeing, you know, the damage that something is causing in their life and helping them to find that relationship with Christ again, we're not doing what God called to do unless we're doing those things. And people who have chosen to reject God, those are not people that we're called to judge. They're not our, they're not within our family. Our goal is to try to bring them there. Our goal is to try to show them the love of Christ and to show them who Jesus is and what he has and what he can do in their lives. And we can only do that by having relationships with these people ourselves. We can only do this by showing them love through our own actions and through our own lives. And a lot of people are unwilling to do this. A lot of people, you know, take a sort of politics view to this. They kind of look at it like, okay, well, this is what we're against today, so let's ban them. Let's create a bunch of laws that make this impossible and everything will be better, but it's not. Because anytime you come against somebody with anger, they retaliate likewise. It's just like in physics, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. If you push hard enough, they're going to push back. And it's not going to bring any salvation to these people. It's not going to bring any salvation to you. And eventually, the church is just going to fall away because it's not going to exist as a church anymore. Christ himself says that we are meant to reach out to them as though they are sick and in need of a doctor. Not as evil people in need of cleansing. Because all of us is wicked in our hearts. Every single one of us falls short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what our life looks like. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters other than whether or not we have a relationship with Christ. That is the only thing that separates the wheat from the weeds. That's the only thing that separates the sheep from the goats. Is whether or not we have a relationship with Christ. And we cannot extend that love. We cannot invite others into a relationship if we're constantly telling them that we hate their guts. If, think of it this way. If you were to go on a date, say you go to a speed dating thing, or you meet people online or whatever, and you're trying to find the love of your life, and you're trying to start a family with them, it would not be beneficial to write every single person that you meet and tell them what you hate about them. I can tell you that that is not going to go over well. and you're probably not going to get a second date out of that, if you even get a first date. So why do we extend this into our spiritual life? If we're trying to grow the kingdom of God, if we're trying to invite people into our family, why would we start by telling them what we hate about them? Why would we start by telling them you can only be part of this family if you stop this, if you get rid of that, if you start to cast all of that aside? Because when I found Christ, I was at rock bottom. When I found Christ, I had lost everything. And that's where he found me. It wasn't from a bunch of people calling me a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. It wasn't from people telling me I was wrong. I knew that all along. Those were not new concepts to me. If somebody is doing something that is a sin, chances are they know it. If somebody's doing something that is wrong, chances are it's causing them a lot of pain. And when people are in pain, telling them that they're wrong, or that they're stupid, or that they're whatever, is not going to bring any healing. And Jesus wants us to be that for them. It was people that showed me love that made an impact in my life. People who took the time out of their lives to be there for me, or to be there for somebody that I loved, and gave their lives and their time as a sacrifice for something that they did not even know was ever going to bear any fruit. There's people that spoke into my life that I've never met in person. There's people that spoke into my life that I have no idea what they're doing now. There's people that have spoken into my life and brought that fruit has grown from that I will never meet. Yet what they've done by taking the time to reach out, by taking the time to spend those few moments to show me that they loved me, that they cared about me, even in spite of knowing where I came from, those have made the impact. Those have made the difference. The people that tried the other route, the people that looked at me with anger and strife, the people that looked at me as though I was the worst of the worst, the bottom rung of society, those are the people that were met with resistance. Those were the people that I shunned and pushed to the side. And I feel like we've kind of based our whole faith on this approach. I'm not saying that everybody does this, but there is a huge majority of people that are crying out for love and acceptance, that are crying out for Christ, and we're giving them the boot, basically. And it's devastating. It's devastating to see this. Because a lot of the problems that we perceive are happening, a lot of the things that we perceive as the worst aspects of society would go away if we just loved people organically. We wouldn't have to pass a law. We wouldn't have to ban a book. We wouldn't have to do all this stuff. It would disappear because of our love for those people. Now, I'm not saying everybody is going to come to grips with this. Not everybody is willing to accept that, but there are people that are crying out that need us. There are people crying out that need to hear that you love them. There are people that are seeking a love that they're not finding where they're at. And if we meet them there, if we show them the love of Christ, the way that it was shown to us, this world would be so much better. This world would be so much more beautiful of a place. And the kingdom of God will start to look like what it has always been meant to look like. when we reach out our hands to somebody, even in the smallest way, it lets them know that they're significant. It lets them know that they're important. It lets them know that they are loved. And in those moments, when they see that, God can begin to move in their lives. Christ can begin to move in their lives in a way that is just not possible if all you're doing is telling them they're sinners. And I would love to know. There was a show that used to come on when I was a kid in the period of time when, you know, I was still going to church and stuff. And one of the main points of it was they would tell everybody, okay, have you ever lied or cheated or whatever? And then they would say, oh, so based on your own words, you are a filthy sinner. So what are you going to do about that? And sometimes they would look uncomfortable, like, oh, well, yeah, I guess. And some people would, you know, they would say the sinner's prayer, but I wonder if any of those people actually grew in their faith because of that. I wonder if anybody really gave their hearts to Jesus because they heard that they were lousy sinners. And just because it produces television doesn't mean that it's produced change. I know firsthand what people doing things for me in a loving way in the name of Christ has done to direct my life in the direction that it's gone. When my grandpa was sick, there was my mom's side of the family, they're Catholic. And when my grandpa was sick, there was a priest, a young priest from Orlando. He would travel like several hours to also be over the small little Catholic church that my grandparents had gone to a couple times, and that my grandma was going to regularly because my grandpa was sick. And this priest, he took extra time out of his day. I mean, he was in his 20s. He was young. And he probably had a life outside of the church. But he spent all of that time with my grandpa to let him know that he was loved, to let him know that Jesus loved him. He took the time to talk to the family, to become a part of their everyday lives. And it was those moments that I looked at him and I was like, is this really what Jesus is like? Is this really who Jesus is? And in that moment, I didn't quite understand what it was that I was seeing. But now, looking back, I realize how much of a part of my own story that was. I realized that there are people out there that reflect the love of Christ, and that's what needs to be shown. We don't need to be like Ephesus and tell everybody how much we hate everything. That doesn't produce good fruit. That doesn't produce the type of change in a person's life that loving them does. So we need to get back to where we started. We need to get back to that place where we first felt Christ's love at that altar, or wherever it was that we first encountered God. And we need to extend that to the rest of the world. It's not about passing a law. It's not about making a political statement. It's not about telling people that they're sinners so that they'll be coerced into giving themselves to Christ. it's about showing them that no matter where they come from, no matter where they are headed, there's a God that loves them more than they could ever imagine. There is a God that died on the cross and bled and suffered immensely just so that they would know how much he loved them. And we need to sacrifice ourselves, our time, and our energy to let these people see who it is that we serve. They're not going to find that out by what is detestable. They're going to find that out by knowing that this Creator God loves them, that He created them on purpose and for a purpose, and that everything that they have been through, all of the parts of their lives that we may look at and scoff, are part of a tapestry that is so beautiful that God is working on, that is exactly what somebody else needs to see. So I want everybody to think about this. You know, next time we go out and we interact with people, they are looking for love, just like we all are. They're looking for answers. They're looking for truth. And that only comes from the love of God. That's something that we can show them in the smallest of acts, the smallest of things. We can speak volumes about who God is. And I want to encourage and challenge everybody to make this a part of their lives. There's people that I know, people that I come into contact with, that will tell you up and down, they do not believe in God, they don't know this or that, and they're living in a way that's inconsistent with biblical values, but they also know that if they're going through something, they ask me to pray for them. They know deep down that there is something out there and that it is attainable. They know that God is there and that He's willing to help them. They may not be able to call out to Him themselves, but they know that I love them. They know that I care about them, and they know that I'm willing to put myself aside and pray for them. And that's something that I always want people to know. I want them to know that I'm always available to reach out to God for them, or to help them with whatever I can help them with. To be there in a way that they know Christ's love through my own love. So let's take a moment to pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just ask that You can be with everybody listening to this. Show them in their hearts that the way to bring people into the fold, the way to encourage people to know who You are, is to show them the love that You showed them. To show them that You care about us, even when we fall so far, even when we leave Your side, You are still a God of love. You still love us so much so that You would leave the 99 just to follow the one lost sheep. That even when we squander our entire inheritance, even if we waste every gift and talent that You've ever given us, You are still waiting on our return. Not to make us slaves, but to show us that we're Your sons. That Your love is able to endure anything that we happen to fix ourselves on, no matter how detestable it is. Your love is able to change those things. Your love is able to grow within us. Help us to be able to radiate that love. Help us to be able to bring that love to somebody else who doesn't know you. Help us to take on this challenge of giving of ourselves so that people know that there's a God in heaven that loves them more than anything. We thank you, God, for everything. We love you and praise you. And it's in your only Son's name, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll talk to you guys next time.